Wednesday afternoon, time for our bi-monthly conversation with MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Very well. Well, Art Prize is beginning to wind down. We'll have a winner here in the next couple of days. You've been following this all along. MIBiz has been following this all along. And what are you seeing taking place here?
It's kind of against that broader context of Art Prize. And, you know, we talked a couple of weeks ago about what does Art Prize really mean, and kind of a bigger, broader reflection of what Grand Rapids is becoming. And this is kind of a broader look at the arts community by my colleague Nick Manis, and comes to us from our sister publication, Review Magazine. Went out and talked to some of those folks who are in that arts community. Obviously, we have Graham, we have the Urban Institute, and they are really terrific places. But what about those folks who are down there in the trenches, slugging it out, trying to make a living as an artist? And here's some interesting points to the story. They're kind of worried about the future. Is there a role for them in the future? We're seeing a lot of money coming into Grand Rapids, a lot of redevelopment. What's that going to do with the rents that these artists are paying for their place to live, for their place to have their studio? You know, that is an issue about the housing stock in Grand Rapids and affordable housing. So there's the gentrification. There are other issues. There's the, you know, is there enough art collectors? Are there enough places for them to sell their art and display their art? It's kind of just a confluence of factors to have some folks in that art community, maybe a little bit of a counterculture community, kind of worrying about the future. What is their role, and where do they have a role in this arts community in Grand Rapids as Grand Rapids really breaks out of its shell and continues to become this destination point?
Are there some hints to what may become of this community?
Well, that's really the big, broader question. You're seeing some development. You know, you have that Avenue of the Arts down on South Division around Fulton Street to Wealthy. Yeah, that's a nice area that's been relatively stable, and it's allowed artists to really kind of get out of those areas where you have escalating costs and some short distance from some of the new development. But there's a concern, again, those new developments, as more folks come in, these are perhaps maybe some higher-end places. What does that do to the rents around town into these kind of neighborhoods, Hartside, that Avenue of the Arts? Nobody's really sure. Some folks think it'll work out, that there will be a place for them. But, again, some of the artists that Nick went out and talked to, folks who are really involved in that community, they just wonder, where does this arts community fit in, and how does it fit into the broader scheme of Grand Rapids and the future of the community?
Well, Nick was on a roll here, because then another story by Nick talking about major developments that could be receiving some funding under proposed incentives, some legislation that's out there.
Yeah, maybe. You know, we've seen major developments in Grand Rapids over the years, and they've been good. And this really is legislation that originates out of Detroit, where Dan Gilbert, Quicken Loans, is ready to deploy what he says is about $2 billion in redevelopments around downtown Detroit. But you also have a couple of major projects on the books here. You've got the $140 million mixed-use project south of the arena. You have the potential $200 million redevelopment of the Sappy paper site in Muskegon. So those are a couple of projects here in West Michigan that could qualify if this legislation goes through. Now, all this is against the broader context of how do you use tax incentives, economic development incentives to generate investment, to accommodate and help investment. And what this would do, if you understand tax increment financing, it allows the tax revenue, the property tax revenue, an increased valuation of property within a given district. That property value rises because there were improvements, there was a development there, and that increased property tax revenue off the base goes to fund public infrastructure improvements, roads, streets, streetscape, basically things that are needed to really accommodate that development. What this legislation in the state Senate would do would capture all taxes, not just property taxes, but use and sales taxes to help pay for what's needed to accommodate these developments. It's a big issue. Remember back a number of years ago when Governor Snyder took office, Michigan eliminated a lot of tax incentives and tax credits. But this is a proposal that could, at least the backers believe, could really accommodate some major investments into urban communities where it's needed. And they just need a little bit of help to get those investments in place. And expected here, maybe, not sure before the election, but expect the legislature maybe to really consider this a little bit more, in this, at least in the state Senate, before the end of the legislative term.
Where does the opposition come from on this?
Well, the opposition to these types of tax incentives and tax increment financing is you're taking away that tax revenue from schools, cities, counties. In this case, it'll be broader because it's also the sales and use tax, and it's kind of a philosophical debate. You're taking that tax revenue doesn't go to those folks it was intended to do, but the other side of that debate is, you know, when you levy taxes on zero, what do you get? You get zero. You want half of something, you want X percentage of something, or you want 100% of something in X years after this, this cap expires, or do you just want zero off of zero? You know, it's really a broad philosophical debate there, and legislature will have to decide this one if it decides to act on this legislation by the end of this legislative term.
Well, there's more here with the legislation, right? There's some legislation to restore angel investment and the angel investment tax credit.
Yeah, we've written about this a couple times in the last few months, and this one doesn't look like it's going to go much further. Angel investors are folks, they're high net worth individuals. They're part of angel investment groups such as Muskegon Angels or Grand Angels out of Holland. We have 9 of these groups in Michigan. They put a lot of money into startup, early stage companies, entrepreneurs with an innovation. They're trying to commercialize and get to the marketplace. And it's an important piece of that capital continuum for funding startup businesses. Michigan at one point had an angel investment tax credit. Basically, your angel investors, for their investment, they could get a credit against the state income tax. This one, as it's proposed by the Republican representative Jeff Farrington out of Utica in Macomb County, would have created a 20% or a 25% tax credit that that an investor could apply over a couple of years to their income tax burden for the state. It cleared a House committee last month, but it was a split vote. It sits in the full House, but in exchanging some communication with Representative Farrington recently, he doesn't think it's going to go much further because it was a split vote. Governor Snyder is not in favor of it because, again, Governor Snyder, remember, got rid of a lot of those tax incentives and credits a few years ago. He wants a wide base, low base tax code here in Michigan, tax system. So Representative Farrington doubts that this will go much further in the state house. The legislation, as it was introduced, does at least set the debate for those involved in innovation entrepreneurship, perhaps at a later date in the next legislature, to come back and try again, which I would presume that they would at one point.
You see benefit in the angel investment? Are we seeing the benefits over time?
Well, we've seen a significant increase in angel investment over the last decade here in Michigan. I don't have the numbers directly in front of me, but it has gone quite a bit in the last decade, as has venture capital. Some folks will credit the growth in angel investment to that previous angel tax credit. 27 states don't have it or do have it. Michigan's the only Great Lakes state that does not have an angel investment tax credit. And the argument is, yep, of course, they're high net worth individuals, but they are investing. They're trying to spur entrepreneurism. Of course, they want a return on investment. Where would you prefer that they invest their money? Do you want to mitigate some of that risk and lower that risk threshold for them to invest their money here in Michigan? Or would you prefer that they take their money elsewhere? That's really the debate, the argument that some of the proponents of a tax credit put forward in this debate.
MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez, thank you so much.
We'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.